Welcome to the podcast. This is our first 2011 podcast, and I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm Dave Say, graphic designer.
And Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Doesn't seem. Can you believe it's 2011 already?
No.
I can't.
I cannot. Where'd 2010 go?
Down the toilet.
That was a pretty quick year.
It wasn't a bad year, I don't think.
No.
But we started these podcasts.
Yeah.
No, was it this year? Last year?
It was last, well, the end of, no, because we were talking about Christmas last year.
Yeah.
So it was right before Christmas of last year. Mm. So that was 2009.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. So how was Christmas?
It was awesome.
Yeah?
It was awesome.
Getting good stuff?
What did I get? Oh, well, Santa Claus bought me an iPad.
Nice. Yep. Very nice.
And it's weird. I can't. I like it, but I don't know why I like it. Like, I was sitting there, and like when I first got it, I was like kind of playing around with it, and I was like, yeah. Why does this exist? It doesn't need to exist. Like, there's no, like, what was it made for? Like, there was nothing. Like, people weren't screaming that there was something not there that they needed, and then they were like, we'll make this thing called the iPad, and it will fill in exactly what you need. But it's just, it's cool. I can't figure it out. Like, since I've got it, like, I figured out. I was sitting on the couch like a couple of days after I got it, and I was sitting on the couch, and like Sarah was playing Mario, and I was just sitting on the couch, and I have this thing that's in my hand. I'm holding it like a magazine, and the entire interwebs is on it, and it's on this tiny little thin thing that you can hold like a magazine, and then I can take it, and I can just sit it down on the table, and it's not big and clunky like a laptop where I have to pick it up and open it up, and then I can just pick it up again, and everything is there on this thin little weird magical thing.
Yeah, you know, and type in any stupid file names or double click on a dumbass icon.
No, so that's kind of cool. Like it's become, you know, it's like the internet has been reduced to magazine format.
Yeah.
And it's like I could just reach up on the coffee table and grab the internet, and then I carry it around with me. You know, Sarah was like, "Oh, this is going to be great for recipes because then you can just bring a recipe up there and then you can just have that and then you can look at it and try not to spill things on it." But it's It is. It's like the internet as a magazine that you can now have.
You can carry it around with you. It's
you can't.
You don't have to worry about it. There's no way for it to boot. You don't have to worry about dropping. Well, I guess you still
have to worry about dropping it. But it's, yeah. So that's, and you can hold it in both your hands, and it's large enough that it's clear, and then you can zoom. Yeah. It's neat. It's like, it is. It's internet magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind
of
cool.
It reminds me of, was it the dude who invented the Model T Ford?
Yeah.
I guess Henry Ford. What's his name again?
Mr. Car Ford.
So he just said, like, if people asked him what they should make, they would have told him to make a faster horse.
Yeah.
And as it is with the iPad, you know, the same kind of thing. People want, we want a better version of Windows, one that's easier to use. You know, my dad's been visiting. I've been trying to show him like how to fix stuff on the Windows side of it.
Yeah.
And as I'm doing this, I said, there's no way that people should be able to do this. The only reason I can do it is because I've accepted a certain amount of BS in the world of computers, and I know enough about operating systems and computer architecture and like the kind of crap that people get away with programming.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see through that stuff, and it's my guide. It guides me by the hand down this path that's just littered with wreckage of like bad decisions and so forth. And you know, turning on a computer and getting on the internet, it takes like a bazillion steps.
Yeah.
And with the iPad, you turn it on, you click a button, and it's there.
And it's there.
Yeah. And there's none of this other crap that goes on. Yeah. So.
And it's good, and it's going to be really good for the business too. Like I bought the there's a portfolio app, and that was really nice. And actually, I had somebody come by the studio that was looking at some portraits. And I whipped that thing out, and like it was great because she just grabbed a hold of it and she just started flipping through the pictures, you know. Nice. And it was like, we've got, you know, like giant 16x20s on the wall, but like, she didn't want to look at that. She had this thing in her hand, and she was flipping it back, and then she would like, you know, move back to the ones that she really liked. And
that's cool.
So like instantly, I was like, all right, that's, you know, and that's going to be good to have, like, no matter where I am.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about a printed portfolio. I can just pull this up, and then I can keep dropping stuff in. The only thing that's kind of a pain in the butt is getting things on it and off of it, like images and stuff.
Oh, really?
I don't have, like, my computer at the studio doesn't have the newest version of 10.5. Like, I need to upgrade it. Mm-hmm. And it's an earlier version of 10.5 that doesn't work with that. But I did discover that, like, I set up a free Dropbox account. And you can download a Dropbox app for the iPad, and then you can just download stuff.
Dropbox kicks butt.
I guess.
Dude,
I don't know.
It totally kicks butt.
It stuck a whole bunch of crazy stuff on my computer, though, like this thing called Growler and all this stuff. It keeps auto-updating all this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what it does.
You don't need that Growler thing.
Jerks.
But the Dropbox thing, like if you've ever had to sync files before between like multiple backup locations.
Yeah.
Like, I use Dropbox to synchronize my desktop computer and my laptop.
Yeah.
And before, I had let me manually synchronize it using some sort of rsync program or copy files back and forth. So, if I'm working on this podcast file.
Yep.
And then I want to work on my laptop, on my workstation, I would have to actually physically copy all the files.
Yes, stick it on.
Or if I'm working on a website that has, like, hundreds of files with it. It's, like, a big pain in the butt.
Yep.
But now, they're always in sync.
Yeah, and yeah, that's so true. Because no matter when you turn the computer on, it already syncs it up.
It doesn't. It now no longer matters which computer I'm using,
right?
To work on a website or work on a piece of design, because the latest versions, the last version, is always synchronized.
Right, right. I suppose that would be better. Like once we get the internet in the studio,
then
it would be much better because then I could just take all the stuff that's on the hard drive and just drop it in there.
Yeah,
and then no matter where I am, either at home or at the studio, I can just reach in there and grab stuff if I need it.
For you, it might be a little bit more difficult because you're dealing with pretty big files.
Yeah.
So you probably wouldn't be able to get away with the free version of the Dropbox.
No, yeah. I think it's like 2 gigs or something like that if you sign up for free.
Yeah.
So, but even though I mean, most of the stuff I resize for the web anyway, so I can always just dump all those on there.
Yeah, that's true.
But so far it was cool for that because then I got a lot of stuff for the portfolio through that. So that's kind of cool. And then it's got this big, beautiful calendar thing and I have it all synced up with all my Google stuff. So all my business email comes through on it. So it's pretty cool. I haven't like put any movies on it or anything yet, but it's weird. Like even now, it's cool, but it still doesn't need to exist. But it's cool. I guess I guess that's their like thing. They just do cool things. Like they just make cool shit. Pardon my French, but they just make cool stuff. That's like it's cool. But even if you don't need it, it's cool. Thanks, Apple. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
So I got that, and I've been playing with it. And then Santa Claus went crazy with movies this year. my parents were awesome because my whole thing last few years is on Sunday nights I go over to my parents to do my laundry, and of course the USA is always on and Law and Order is always on because Law and Order is like USA is like the 24-hour Law and Order channel, which is awesome. Really? So I'll sit there for like 5 hours while I'm doing my laundry and letting it dry, and I'll just watch.
Wow.
So Santa decided to get me like 2 seasons of Law and Order so that I can watch it at home, and it's just been fantastic. Like Sarah was a little under the weather during Christmas vacation kind of thing. And she took some NyQuil a couple of days, and like NyQuil just knocks her completely out. Like, so there's a couple of days where she didn't get up till like 11:30 in the morning, and I'm up at like 7, so I was just like watching 4 hours of Law and Order. I'm just like, this is great. The cats are all curled around.
You're up at 7?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. I get up early, and then I get stuck on the computer.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm kind of excited to get the internet up at the studio because then it'll get me out of the house earlier, and then I can come here and take her, you know, like catch up on all my business emails and stuff.
Right.
Which will be kind of nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah, one of the many plans hopefully will unfold in the next couple of weeks.
I have to admit, I'm not really a fan of Law and Order.
There's just something. Sarah can't stand it. Like she's just like it's such a horrible, overacted soap opera. And maybe that's why I like it, because it's like a male equivalent to a soap opera.
Maybe so.
You know,
I found it very formulaic.
It totally formulaic.
And
absolutely formulaic. And that's the best thing about it. It's all about Detective Stabler. The special victims unit. He's got a family. He's got 3 kids, and he runs into these perps that like, you know, rape like pedophiles and stuff. And you can just see it under his skin. He's ready to just beat into them. It's like, would Detective Stabler do?
It's been a while since I've seen it. I remember there was that Chris Noth and the other dude, the old
that
guy.
Was Criminal Intent.
No.
That was Law and Order. That was the
first one.
With Sam Waterston.
Yeah.
That was the first one.
That's when I kind of got turned off.
That was more of a courtroom.
So is it different now?
Yeah, well, the first Law and Order was like, what are they, like 45 minutes or something? So it was like the first half was them finding out the crime and catching the perps, and then the second half was the courtroom drama.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
And then they did Criminal Intent, which was with that big guy. I can't remember his name.
Big
he
guy.
was in the guy that was in the cell. I can't remember his name, but that was Criminal Intent. So that was more like trying to figure out why they getting into the perp's mind. So they'd catch him and get him in the interrogation room. And then SVU is Sex Crimes. So it's like it's all rapes and it's all like sex themed murders and pedophiles and all that kind of crazy stuff.
Could be on the cable channel, it sounds like.
Exactly, it's awesome. So that's most of it is like them looking for the people and catching them. And then most of the time they're in the interrogation room. And there's a very little bit of courtroom stuff. But most of the time there isn't.
Okay.
So I was just watching Detective Stabler getting him in the interrogation room, and then he just like comes down on him. He's like,
I used to get into Homicide: Life in the Street, and Andre Brower would be
Richard Belzer's character.
Yeah, he crossed over. Yeah,
and they let him on. They let him bring his character on the show, and he's one half of the two teams that make up the SVU unit.
Oh, okay.
So it's Richard. It's currently Richard Belzer and Ice-T, their partners.
What?
Yeah, Ice-T, okay. Rocket. Uh-huh. And then it's the other two, Stabler and Olivia Benson.
Okay.
But it's so like ridiculously so. I don't know. I just like get in front of it. I'm like, I can't stop watching it. It's like totally. It's like some dudes like wrestling. They get sucked in front of watching wrestling, but me, it's just like, oh, SVU, man, Law and Order.
I guess
it's hypnotic. That little guy's voice comes up at the beginning, and he's just like, this is the special victims unit. And then that's two-note tone thing that they have, where it's like, do-do. Every time, it's like hypnotic. It goes off in my head, and I'm like, must not turn channel, must watch.
Yeah.
Detective Stabler. So that was cool. So I've been burning through. I got the first season, and then I got the most recent season.
Nice.
So there's plenty of seasons in the middle that I'm gonna have to fill in.
Oh, great. Yep.
And then just lots of movies, lots of stuff to try to catch up on, which is kind of nice. And a Blu-ray player.
Nice.
So I bought a couple of Blu-rays, and
Which ones did you get?
I got Taken, that had Qui-Gon Jinn. Was in it. It was an action movie from last year. It was like the equivalent of an 80s action movie. Somebody kidnaps his daughter. He flies all the way to Europe, and then he just completely obliterates this like sex trade operation.
Really?
It's amazing. And it's Liam Neeson. He's like 6.5 feet tall.
That's right.
And it's not one of these things where it's like he's kind of wimpy. It's like, they establish right from the beginning of the movie, like he's a bodyguard special agent. And so he gets like it's awesome because he's like his daughter's like 17. She's gonna go spend a semester in Europe, and he's like I don't want you to do this. He's like, I know these kinds of people in Europe. He's like, you're gonna get off the plane, you're gonna get kidnapped. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, Dad. And immediately after she gets off the plane, she's in the airport and she gets kidnapped.
What?
And so he finds out and somebody calls him about ransom, and he gets on the phone and he's just like, you don't know who I am. He's like, I will find you. And I will kill you. And that's all he does for the rest of the movie.
Awesome.
He finds people and kills. It's awesome.
Really? Huh.
So I had that on DVD, and my mom knew I liked that one.
Yep.
So she got that. And then to keep with tradition, every time I get a new format, a new movie format, I always buy Dark City. Mm-hmm. So it's like when I had Laserdisc. When I first started getting heavily into Laserdisc, I went out and bought Dark City. And then before I had a DVD player, when DVDs started coming out, I bought Dark City because I knew I was going to get a DVD player eventually. And then... So for the Blu-ray, I got Dark City. And this one, I think there's one other one.
I think that was one of my first DVDs, too.
I love Dark City. I love that movie. So I did a little comparison. Like, I looked at the regular director's cut DVD I have of Dark City, and then I looked at the Blu-ray. And you can see it. I'm not that much of a videophile that, like, you can totally see. I don't have super crazy equipment.
But it's noticeably sharper.
But it's, there was something about it. And even because it's like this particular player does like the whole up conversion thing. It takes the older DVDs and it made the older DVD look pretty sharper than it was.
Yeah, it should.
There was something about this. I was just like, wow, they had this one shot at the beginning. And I was like, my God, like that's so crisp.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what like Toy Story 3 would look like.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, like super computer generated stuff. Yeah. So that was really cool. And just lots of other stupid junk, just lots of playthings, lots of candy. I'm gonna get super fat.
Uh-huh.
Lots of candy, lots of toys. I'm like 12 when it turns into Christmas, and I never really know what to ask for. So it's always like, oh, here's a couple of books, here's some comics, here's some movies.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you?
I got a bunch of stuff. Dad was here this Christmas, so we had like a family Christmas for the first time in a while.
Aww.
Everyone there.
Nice.
So let's see. So I gave him my old netbook.
You did?
Yeah, he was looking at it and he was admiring it. I said, "Do you want this?" He said, "Sure, I'll take it."
Is that the one you're trying to sell?
That was the one I tried to sell. So now Dad has it. So he'll give that a try. But then on top of that, like, because you can't just I didn't want to get off the hook that easy. So I gave him a label maker.
Oh, no.
And for some reason, I didn't. This was the wild card.
Is he labeling everything in the house?
No, he's not.
Oh.
I kind of thought he might, yeah. But I don't think he's quite grasped the meaning of the label maker yet. He may have just packed it up. Everything he gets in the house, he packs it up and gets it ready to be shipped out. And then the other thing was a digital picture frame.
Oh.
So we can put like the family photos on that and stuff like that. So I showed him how it worked yesterday. He's like, he was kind of intrigued by it. And then my sister gave me, well, both she and her boyfriend gave me a whole bunch of cool stuff. But the two standout things are the Calvin and Hobbes style Han Solo and Chewbacca sledding down a miniature Millennium Falcon down a hill.
Nice.
Awesome t-shirt. And then she also got me a cold brewing coffee system.
Oh.
A cold brew is when you, instead of using hot water, you use like room temperature water.
Yeah.
For coarse ground. And it creates an amazing coffee elixir. It's an extract. You can water it down, but the nice thing about it is it doesn't extract all the bitter oils.
Yeah.
So you end up with a very strong, very, very smooth coffee drink.
Huh.
Really, really good. And you can refrigerate the stuff for up to like a week or so
afterwards,
and it doesn't go bad. I mean, usually when you brew a pot of coffee, you know, it's like it tastes nasty after about, you know, 4 hours or so.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen with this because it doesn't extract all those bitter oils, apparently.
And it makes good iced coffee?
Yeah, this is apparently how you're supposed to make really good iced coffee.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a few coffee places that they prepare their iced coffee this way.
Oh.
That place in the what is it, the Borders? The Seattle's Best?
Oh, Seattle's Best.
Yeah, they do all their iced coffee with cold brew.
Oh.
It's awesome stuff. So, yeah. And what else did I get? Some shirts, some cool books, an action cookbook that my sister told me was, I guess it was this celebrity cook action hero back in the 60s, and there was this movie that Michael Caine was in that was based on this thing.
Really?
Len Dayton, I think, was the name of the
I've never heard of that.
I had never heard of it either, so that was kind of interesting. This is the picture of the cookbook on the front has, like, this guy cooking. He looks like James Coburn in 1965 or something like that. And there's this woman behind him running her fingers through his hair as he's cooking. He's giving a look to the camera and says, yeah, I've got it under control.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
James Coburn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, back when his in like Flynn days.
Yeah. I just remember him seeing him in Young Guns, and I was like, man, what, really? Young Guns.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hmm. So, 2011. Big plans.
I think so. Last year went pretty well, and I'm just gonna kind of continue the slight upward curve that is going on.
Good.
I actually have a show not in 2011. I actually have a show at the beginning of 2012 at a gallery called the NKG Gallery down in Boston.
Nice.
And it's actually going to be all of the last 4 years or so, I've been working on what I've been calling the Plastic Erotica series, mm-hmm. which is more toy stuff, but it's black and white, and it gets a little more suggestive, and it's going to be that, and I actually haven't shown that stuff anywhere, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to be printing, I'm printing it differently. It's not going to be like a print in a frame. It's going to be on canvas, and I'm going to try to make them nice and big. So I have to actually put in a print order for some canvas paper pretty soon.
Someone showed me a link for some kind of print on plywood.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. I saw that link that you had sent.
Yeah.
And, it was pretty expensive. Like,
was it expensive?
It was. I think for a 16x20, it was $140 per print.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of expensive.
Yeah.
But the canvas stuff is fairly affordable, and I can print it right here at the studio, and then I can just learn how to stretch the canvas on stretcher bars.
There you go.
So that's very exciting. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm hoping, like, at some point within the next couple of months, I can sort of start organizing that all out so that I don't wait until the very last minute to try to get everything ready. I'd like to get everything ready in the next, you know, 4 or 5 months, and then that way all I need to do is just print tags and go hang the stuff.
Make you do like a little mini practice show or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it would give me time to maybe make some promotional stuff to send out and stuff like that. So that'd be kind of cool.
That's neat.
So, yeah. So
workshops. New workshops this year?
I think so. I need to sort of sit down and reevaluate how the first ones went, and I think I need to sort of up the price a little bit, and I want to make sure the models get paid every time I do a workshop this time. So, yeah, I liked doing them. The feedback was really well. I just need to sit down and figure out what needs to be tweaked a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just, like, you know, times when I get to do it, too. Like, I think maybe I did too many last year. So just evaluate when the high traffic times for the workshop were, and then I can set dates around there. So it might not be as many. I noticed last year during the summer months there just weren't enough people to take to fill the classes up because everybody's off doing summer vacation-y kind of things with their kids and stuff. But in the spring and in the fall was really heavy traffic for those. Mm. So maybe I'll just do some in the spring and the fall and then the summer.
Yeah, could work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have some months design the new.
Yeah.
You think it's different material this year, or some of the old, some new?
I'm not sure. I've had a couple of requests about studio stuff, but I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure yet. I mean, if I started to do, you know, get really intense in this, I think that the price would have to reflect that.
Yeah.
And I think even where it is now, I think the value people have been getting out of, you know, 8+ hours, I think the price should be probably a little bit higher than it is. For me, anyways, just to make sure I get enough that it makes it worth all the extra effort of printing all the guides and you know, I don't want to start taking losses on all the superfluous stuff that I print up for the workshop and everything.
Right, right.
So yeah, so I need to sit down at some point and figure that all out. Mm. So, but last year went well, and you know, I don't need it to be a super crazy upward spike as long as it levels, it keeps leveling up, you know, a little at a time. And then, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 2011 after how crazy the last month has been.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, I'm still getting contacted about all kinds of emails and stuff like that. So who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know.
Makes you want to do something else that's exciting.
It does. I mean, the bad thing is that now I can't put the puppets down.
Yeah.
And I knew as soon as I got like a me puppet, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be horrible. Like I'm sitting here right now, I'm talking to you and I've got the puppet on my hand and I'm making him talk as well. They're just so awesome. So, you know, so that was really cool. And now that I have it, there's just so much stuff I want to do with him. But you know, I don't want to have to go and invest in all new video equipment just so I can start making silly puppet things.
Yeah. Well, the flip cam worked pretty well.
And the flip cam worked really, really well. Yeah, I mean, like, we just put Sarah and I just made, like, a little New Year's Eve thing.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. And she really enjoyed that, too. She had a kick out of doing that. And we bought kazoos, and we were making them do little kazoo songs. And so it's good.
It
I like
quite
it.
It's tuneful kazooing, I must say.
Did you like that?
I did like
we
it.
Practiced.
Did you
we,
practice?
We were, yes. We before we started filming, we were practicing. Mm. So that's pretty cool. So I think 2011 is going to shape up to be a really good year. I mean, very, very excited about the possibilities.
Yeah, I'm feeling very optimistic about it also.
Yeah. You got a whole bunch of stuff on your website all organized, right?
Yeah, it's starting to come together. You know, an interesting thing about the side, I've been doing more WordPress web development for, you know, this guy who found me on the internet like about a couple years ago. And it's work I don't normally do, you know, the database, like little plug-in programming and stuff like that.
Yep.
But I've picked up a few techniques I could apply to my own blog, so that's been interesting. Uh-huh. So I'm making this reference section on my blog finally, that has all the different productivity forms I've made over the years, gathering all the useful stuff in one place, and it's actually now prominently linked on my homepage for once.
Nice.
So it's, you know, productivity tools, and I've been noticing that when people are coming in through the various waves of things, like there's, for example, like the calendars. At this time of year, I get a lot of traffic for people getting the new calendars. And
everybody's updating.
Yeah, everyone's updating, and people are writing about where to get the good calendar, so I'm usually listed there. And they're also clicking on the productivity tools page as well.
Nice.
So that's good. And plus, I'm doing some e-commerce stuff this year, finally.
Yay!
Some digital download stuff, some custom-designed versions of the free downloadable tools.
Yeah.
And who knows where they'll go.
What's it take to make an iPad app? Like, I would love to see.
I don't know what it takes to make an
iPad app.
Like,
I've been looking for a good, up until I got the iPad, what I was doing was I bought a notebook. And I had it split into three categories. I had like emails and phone calls I needed to make, and then I had short-term things I needed to do, and then I had long-term things to do, and then I was doing it in different colors and that stuff. And then Sarah would take it every night, and she would go through the list, and she'd be like, now what was done? What hasn't been done? You know, she's like my little manager.
Yeah. That's probably the most important part, you know.
Yeah, and when I got the iPad, I couldn't find a really good, like I found something that's eh.
It's a distraction, dude. Like, there's so many people who, like, if there's anything I've learned, it's the thing that works the most is just following up on it every day.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing that with any iPad app, maybe the one thing that works is if with a fancy iPad app or something like that. It might just get you excited enough to play with it.
Right.
It's kind of toy-like.
Yeah.
But really, it's the follow-up that matters.
Right. Well, we just looked for something that was, you know, visually nice.
Yeah.
That looks as nice as Sarah's handwriting.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
And then that way she doesn't have to waste a piece of paper every night. She can just grab the app and she can go through it and cross things out as I do them or check them off or delete them or whatever.
Yeah. Well, there are a few applications. I don't pay attention to any of them, though, because there's so many of them.
There are.
Out there.
There are.
And I like making my own forms anyway. But I do need to get into the application side of things and make some of that. But in the meantime, I like design the paper stuff.
Yep.
It's fun. I still want to get that Intaglio press plans and like and make these like hand printed versions of these forms.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it would sort of be over the top and you know, not very practical. But it would be a kind of a cool art statement.
It'd be very fancy.
So here's hot letterpress productivity forms. Yeah, so I can have my Etsy store.
There you go.
Probably have something.
You've been talking about that for a long time.
Yeah.
You want an Etsy store.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Cool.
Yeah. But to make an iPad app, you need to learn how to use Xcode, which is the Apple development environment. It comes with every version of it's free. It doesn't cost anything.
Oh.
But you need to learn Objective-C, which is which I don't think anyone really wants to learn.
No.
No.
Is it not good?
Well, it's kind of its own thing. I haven't actually looked at it. But I think the iPads and the iPods are the only platforms that use Objective-C in the mainstream. Everyone else is on C++ or on Java or something like that. It's a holdover from way back in the day. Back when the Next systems were out, they were based on Objective-C. Steve Jobs' old company.
Oh, yes. Yep.
So, anyway, it's all boring technical stuff. Yeah. Someone will do something. There's some beautiful apps coming out, though.
Yes, there are. Good.
Yep.
All right. Oh, look at that.
Oh, the music.
The music just faded in. That's very nice.
So that means we got 2 minutes to plug anything you need plugging.
All right, what do we got going on?
Movies coming out? No. Games?
Nothing.
Music?
Nothing. We've been watching, I got Band of Brothers for, Christmas.
Oh, good.
And I've seen it before, but I wanted to watch it with Sarah. Yeah. So we just started watching that. And then I saw my buddy, Simon, Grazina yesterday. Mm-hmm. Simon was the guy that came and did the workshop here at the studio this time last year, and he did the 2-day fashion thing. Uh-huh. And he was in town. He had a video production project for Dell Computers, and he called and said, "I'm in town. You want to get together?" And and then he was like, "You know, I need an extra set of hands. Do you want to come and help out?" So we did that yesterday. We went over to the Dell offices, and they did this roundtable discussion thing that we set up and recorded. It was a 30-minute thing for something coming up. Mm. So that was kind of cool. It was good to see him.
Nice
and stuff, Mr. Brooklyn, New York fashion photographer guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was about it, I think.
I can't think of anything else going on either. I had to go back to doing this programming stuff.
Yeah. I'm still trying
That's
to,
probably
like...
why I'm in this weird mood right now. Because every time I had to do any kind of serious coding, it's like my brain doesn't work right afterwards.
Yeah.
It takes like 4 or 5 hours for it to bounce back.
I'm still in, like... Sarah had the week off from Christmas and New Year's. Yeah. So I'm still trying to recover from that. Like, I got very lazy in the last week, just like hanging around watching Law and Order and eating chocolate.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've been having a lot of family stuff on the weekends.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And we went to a nice housewarming for Elise.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was really cool. There was a mob of people there.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine. I was surprised how many people could fit in that place.
I know. Yeah. It was a pretty small place. But like, we came out of that and, And Sarah's like, we could totally get a tiny place. She's like, that was totally, you know, like once they fixed it up, it was really nice. So I could totally see like her and I having a smaller place like that and still being able to, you know. Of course, you know, then when kids come around, that might change the whole thing. But
so you just have very small kids.
She's pretty small to begin with.
Outsource them.
Exactly. So we'd end up, you know, she's tiny, so we'll have little tiny kids, but they'll probably be really fat because of me.
So they'll stack nice.
So, exactly. They'll be like little donut children.
Okay, well, that's the podcast. I'm Dave Say, designer.
And I'm Photographer Sid Caesar, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. Everybody clap.
Ooh.
The puppet can't clap because he's got little padded hands. We'll see you later.
Goodbye.